Watch your all-time high, you're good as it gets. Your hands down best ever make up sex. Watch your guilty pleasure, your old go-to. Well, if you asked me, mine would be you. Watch your worst hangover, your best night yet. Your 90 proof, your Marlboro Red. The best damn thing you lucked into. Well, that's easy, girl. Mine would be you. Mine would be you. Sun-kissed, shining, back road flying, singing like crazy fools, making up our own words, laughing till it hurts. Baby, if I had to choose my best day ever, my finest hour, my wildest dream come true.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Baltimore, recovery efforts continuing for the six construction workers now presumed dead after yesterday's bridge collapse. The investigation into what caused a cargo ship to crash into the bridge just getting started. President Biden pledging federal aid to help rebuild that bridge. ABC's Jay O'Brien on what's next.
Well, I've been talking to sources who say that is most likely going to need to come in a kind of supplemental funding request to Congress, because there aren't areas of the federal government that really have the size of budget to really repay every single dollar it would take to rebuild that bridge ultimately when it gets to that point.
Just days after he canceled Monday's trip, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu now agreeing to reschedule the delegation visit to the White House for discussions on Rafah and aid in Gaza. The U.S. says it's working on a new date. And winter storms still making a mark in Minnesota, residents digging out while they remain under winter alerts. This is ABC News. Sam Bankman-Fried faces sentencing tomorrow for what's been called one of the biggest financial frauds in U.S. history. Prosecutors alleging he stole more than $8 billion of customer money, calling for up to 50 years in prison for the FTX crypto exchange founder. Bankman-Fried appealing his conviction. We have a winner for the first time since December. Someone matched all the numbers in the huge lottery Mega Millions drawing.
I think there's a chance.
This woman buying Mega Millions tickets in New Jersey Tuesday was right. The only winning ticket for the $1.13 billion jackpot was sold in the Garden State at a ShopRite liquor store in Neptune in Monmouth County. The winner has a year to come forward, but we may never know who won. New Jersey allows lottery winners to remain anonymous. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Neptune ShopRite is now donating its $30,000 bonus check to local charities. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Hewitt, yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
The good folks at Wendy's have a revolutionary new product for you. Introducing the new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. It's like a time machine that takes you all the way back to now, the year 2024. It's the classic, creamy, orangey flavor you remember. Dare I say, it's new timey. It's the flavor you grew up with, just all grown up. Head over to your local Wendy's establishment and get yours while supplies last. The new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. Here for the now, for now.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Donald Trump will be in Wisconsin next week Tuesday after polls close statewide for voting in the April 2nd election. That includes Wisconsin's presidential primary. The former president is scheduled to deliver remarks that evening at the Green Bay Hyatt Regency. Trump and President Joe Biden have already secured their party's nominations for president. A fundraising bundler with the Trump finance team told WisPolitics the trip will include a VIP component with donations of $25,000. Trump last visited Wisconsin in an August 2022 rally for Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michels. That was in Waukesha. A new law signed by Governor Tony Evers Tuesday will allow specially trained emergency medical technicians to bring firearms with them into active shooting situations. Evers said emergencies like that require everyone to pull their weight.
The bottom line is we need to make sure that they're able to do their jobs to the best of their abilities and protect themselves in situations where their lives may be at risk.
The bill was signed in Appleton. That's where a pilot program was used as a basis for the new law. The Wisconsin Conservation Congress makes a change to its social media.
Citizen delegates are elected to the Conservation Congress to advise the Natural Resources Board and the Department of Natural Resources. The Conservation Congress maintains a Facebook page, but in a post this week, Chair Rob Bowman said comments will be disabled going forward. He wrote that they are not able to monitor comments and to correct the record when misrepresentations of facts are made and that civility matters. Personal attacks are not constructive, helpful, or acceptable, hence the decision to shut down comments. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A calmer and cooler day today as high temperatures stay below freezing. Winds are still a bit feisty, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, and they won't ease up until Thursday night. More clouds than sun today with a few flurries possible this afternoon. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 23.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Conversation with Emily Score from Growth Energy. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Greg Anderson and Anthony Bush. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate that. The Sand Hills of Hump Day?
That's right. Yeah, you can see, you know, the summit from here, but we got some climbing to do before she's done. You know?
Gotcha. You know, the way you draw a picture with your words, Davis, it's really, really kind of fascinating to me.
I'm the Bob.
It might even be clinical. We don't know yet.
I fancy myself the Bob Ross of modern verbiage. Just some happy little words, you know.
Just the hair.
We'll put a descriptive term over there. Oh, there we go.
Oh, my goodness. Glad you are joining us on this Wednesday morning. Emily Score was at CERAWeek. Last week. She was sat in on a panel on biofuels, of course. And we are going to find out not only what they talked about on the panel, but just the general attitude toward biofuels at this huge energy industry gathering that took place. And we'll get to the bottom line there with Emily. And then we got the Farmer Forum. Greg Anderson is very much involved with Clean Fuels Alliance America. And so we'll keep the conversation going on biofuels and new voice from over in Ohio. Anthony Bush is going to joining us as well.
Word to the Eastern Belt. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's get to it. What you got?
Well, I've got the National Weather Service short-term outlook here. Rainy, stormy, Rainy, stormy weather across the southeast coast through Thursday. Unsettled weather arrives over northwest today. Warming trend begins over the central U.S. on Thursday. It is cold outside my back door today.
Yeah, I'm 30 degrees here in northeast Iowa, too.
We're 30 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is chilly. There's no question about it. And it's going to be more active. There is some activity in the outlook with some more precipitation, too.
Well, Chip, this is interesting. A Bloomberg article discusses a potential shift in U.S. crop planting dynamics, with soybeans possibly surpassing corn due to President Biden's decarbonization plan and increased demand for soybean oil for renewable diesel production. While corn has historically been favored by American farmers, the surge in green energy subsidies could lead to soybeans taking the top spot in the future. Chip, an analyst, and this is important, an analyst charged, the prediction is a little too focused on unrealized domestic demand. I have one word for this article, South America. Am I right?
Well, there's that. There is no question about that. But Davis, this is the expansion of the crush capacity in the renewable diesel story that we've been talking about for almost 3 years on AgriTalk. And Bloomberg is doing an article on it now like it's something new, fresh.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it takes time. I get that. It takes time for these major changes in the industry to happen. Mm-hmm. But we've been talking about it for quite some time.
We're already on the other end of it thinking maybe our expectations are overdone here on this. I thought it was interesting. Right. USDA has identified bird flu infected cows in 4 dairy herds in Kansas and Texas, and tests in other herds are pending. Dairy cows in New Mexico have also exhibited symptoms of the illness. Initial analysis by a USDA lab did not detect a genetic change in the virus to make it easily transmissible between mammals, which means the infected cows are unlikely to infect other cows or, more importantly, humans.
Right. The conversation that we had with the Kansas Animal Health Commissioner, Dr. Justin Smith, yesterday, we went through so many of these issues. If you did not get a chance to listen to it, please go back and listen to that conversation. It's got a lot of the answers that people are looking for.
Well, Chip, China's hog herd will likely remain in surplus this year. This despite new government targets to tame oversupply. Earlier this month, Beijing adjusted the national target for normal retention of breeding sows, but increasingly productive sows and a reluctance in hog farms to destock will keep herd size at high levels and prices low. U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai is currently reviewing China's request for consultations at the World Trade Organization regarding U.S. subsidies for electric vehicles. China claims, of course, that these subsidies provided under the Inflation Reduction Act are discriminatory and have distorted the global EV supply chain market. USDA has authorized the release of emergency haying and grazing on CRP acres nationwide to livestock producers affected by wildfires in Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas. Says Kelly Atkins, Texas Farm Service Agency Director, quote, "If you have CRP acres and want to help wildfire-impacted ranchers, please contact your local FSA office." Chip, as I understand, this is nationwide. Get in touch with your FSA office with your CRP acres.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and bail up those acres and send the hay to the areas that have been hit with fires, looks like they're going to make that possible for you to do that.
Yep, yep. And finally, here, the EPA agreed with recommendations from its scientific advisory panel on atrazine. The recommendations remove several poor quality studies that played a role in the agency's recommendation for an ultra-low aquatic level of concern for atrazine. Chip.
Okay, yeah, we need to keep watch on that as well. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Echocamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Chip.
Hey, it seems like delivering seed and crop protection with the planter pass is more popular than ever this year. Is that right?
So one of my favorite parts of my job is we get to spot some trends, right? Yeah. So back in 2019, we actually named at The Scoop the new product of the year was Rocket Seed. So this was a product by Compass Minerals, and it was a seed fluency agent plus a crop nutrition formulation for corn and soybeans. That product then was acquired by Koch Agronomic Services. And so now it is known as Protovate. And that was just the start of a wave of these products, as you alluded to, that are applied at the time of planting, so directly in the planter box, to provide a replacement for either talc or graphite, a standalone product, and also provide an additional benefit. So now in all, Chip, there are 20-some of these products specifically formulated for corn and or soybeans, and they are providing that seed fluency to focus on seed singulation, as well as maybe a biopesticide or a biocontrol agent or a crop nutrition package. What's interesting about the crop nutrition is that these are really formulated to help seeds get a strong start as farmers may be planting in cool or wet soils. And what's also interesting about these products that are integrating the biological control agents is it's really helping those crops get off to a strong start in fighting pests. I share with you, we did a roundup of these products in February. We've had two new entrants since then. So I think there's going to be a lot of pickup trucks driving to the field this spring and having some extra things to sprinkle in the planter box.
Gotcha. Good stuff, Margie. Thank you so much. Learn more about it. www.thedailyscoop.com. Emily Score is next.
All right, let's see here. Acuron Corn Herbicide. Powerful weed control. Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and out-yields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
In the beginning, there were soybean plants, and something big was about to happen. Except it didn't, because stresses like heat and drought struck during the flowering stage, preventing bloom and so much more. But then Agroxene said, let there be Smartfoil. And the big bloom came, because Smartfoil is a biological foliar application that increases pod count and yield potential by reducing abiotic stress. So bloom big in 2024. Ask your retailer about Smartfoil by Agroxene, or visit bigbeanbloom.com to learn more.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TriVoltInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Get ready to take your corn yields to the max with MX Series Corn by Stein. These one-of-a-kind hybrids are derived from the latest, most superior corn genetics from one of the industry's largest corn breeding programs. MX Series Corn by Stein features short-stature plants with medium to high ear placement, enabling excellent performance in high population environments, ease of harvest, and strong standability. Learn more about our time-tested short-stature corn products at steinseed.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
You suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flora. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday morning. CERAWeek was last week. It is a global gathering of basically everything energy. It's put on by S&P Global. It normally doesn't leave many stones unturned when it comes to what is happening in the global energy markets. The list of speakers at CERAWeek is unbelievable. You've got energy companies. You've got governments from around the world. You've got energy consumers. They're all represented. And one of those speakers was Growth Energy CEO Emily Score, and she joins us right now. Emily, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Chip. It's always great to talk with you.
Good, good, good. So did I describe CERAWeek adequately? I mean, it's a huge meeting with a huge influence.
You did. It's been described as the Davos of energy. It really is the who's who globally, government, private sector, every part of the value chain. And here's what's unique. This is the place where the leaders throughout the globe are talking about the investment, the exciting things in the space of energy, but biofuels traditionally has not been on the agenda until now.
Okay.
And now we are, and that's what's different. And that's what was so exciting to be there to make the business case for bioethanol as a fuel and potentially as a feedstock.
Emily, what changed? What got biofuels on the agenda?
So part of it, honestly, Chip, is what's happening in the renewable diesel space. And so a lot of it is if you're coming to the conversation from the, through the lens of the oil and gas sector, they're looking at renewable diesel and it's getting them to start thinking differently. They're looking at their ESG responsibilities. It's getting them to think differently about things like E15, and they're looking at SAF. And so there's a confluence of a lot of things, a lot of opportunities, and suddenly people are taking a look at ethanol in a way that they hadn't before. They're looking at, can I invest in an ethanol company? What kind of business partnership or alliance or JV do I need to be forming? Because I need this feedstock because I need it to be able to produce low carbon fuel, me as an oil or gas company. So that's the change. That was very much the tenor of the conversation. People were very pleased to see Growth Energy there and to hear what we had to say and what I had to say. So it was good. It was good for the industry that we are finally entering those kinds of conversations.
Okay. Help me understand a little bit more about how the conversation has progressed to this point. I would assume that the transition to electricity has been a very hot topic of discussion over the years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it absolutely is, because it is forcing top of mind for everyone in liquid fuels. What is the future of liquid fuels? How do we make sure that liquid fuels, that we could preserve our ability to thrive and grow in a low carbon market? And the great news is, Chip, ethanol, if you look at biodiesel, renewable diesel, SAF, and ethanol, right now, ethanol, you can blend E15. We don't need a lot of infrastructure. We don't need to overhaul the system, and we don't need any tax credits, unfortunately, like we do on something like SAF. So the conversation really was getting to higher blends, because that's how we decarbonize the internal combustion engine. That's how we compete with electric vehicles. And then what's the potential for something like sustainable aviation fuel? Okay. And what do those business partnerships look like to be able to create that?
Okay. What is the level of understanding about the capabilities of biofuels in reducing carbon? Is it well understood, or is there still a lot of education that has to take place?
There's a lot of education to be done.
Okay.
And so most people really don't understand it. And they also don't understand the power of agriculture and the responsiveness of agriculture. And what's great is you look at the RFS and you look at the late 2000s, look at how quickly agriculture responded to that market opportunity of going from E0 to E10, how quickly we were able to mobilize and produce. And so it's really educating kind of the oil and gas side of liquid fuels that if there's a huge market opportunity, we, agriculture and ethanol, we can respond quickly. We can mobilize quickly. We have the capacity to meet demand.
Yeah. Yeah. Emily, it seems to me that there's another component here, and it's just how well funded the low carbon effort is going forward because of the Inflation Reduction Act. That the IRA spent the money, just didn't distribute it. Now, as that money is being distributed and divvied up, it's getting everybody's attention, the amount of money that's available through the IRA, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. It's been a total game changer. It's opening up avenues of investment and opportunity for innovation because they weren't economical before. And you need those tax credits and incentives to be able to say, okay, we're going to take a chance. We're going to try this new technology. that otherwise we wouldn't be able to afford to invest in. We wouldn't be, it's, you know,
yeah,
it's de-risking really the investment opportunities and the innovation opportunities. Now, there's a fair amount of healthy conversation. If you have a change in administration, what does that do to the investment?
Right. Opportunities?
And here's what's interesting is, you know, I continue to hear a lot of the market wants this, consumers want this, the customers want this. We can weather shifts because we want to be able to compete in this way too. And that's exciting, mm-hmm. Chip. That's exciting. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boy, before we run out of time, Emily, let's talk specifically about the panel that you were on, the title, Business Models to Scale Biofuel Supply. What was the primary focus?
So the primary focus is, you know, and these are the questions. Emily, are you going to see more consolidation? Are you going to see more JVs between oil and ethanol in the future?
Okay.
And it's an interesting question because we, on the ethanol side of the equation, we continue to be kind of pure play ethanol producers mm-hmm. or kind of on the agribusiness side of the equation. And we're starting to see, and we've seen already that there are alliances forming in terms of on the SAF side of the equation, ethanol producer will provide the feedstock with the technology provider and then an offtake agreement with the airlines. So it was fun to be at a place where I'm getting questions on the business side of the equation, not just the policy side of the equation.
Right. Right. Very interesting. Okay. What's next? What is the next step that these potential partners in developing biofuels for SAF or renewable diesel for the list of items that you were talking about? What is the next step that they want to see?
Well, the next step that I told them we have to have, comes back to Washington, D.C., and it comes back to policy, Chip. We've got to get guidance coming out of Treasury on 40B and 45Z. We've got to get that E15 summer waiver. And so we do need these policy decisions and clarity and consistency because, of course, what does business need? They need clarity and they need certainty so that they can have the market. So all roads do lead back to Washington.
Yeah.
But we have a handle on that. We understand what we need, and we're talking every day to the policymakers to try and get those answers as quickly as we can.
Okay, so the clarity on the 40B and the 45Z credits is the final adjustments to the GREET model. Vilsack said back on March 1 that it would be weeks and not months for the update. Tomorrow's going to be 4 weeks. Any indication? Have they given you any indication of when that's going to be released?
They have not. We continue to hear weeks, not months. You're right. It's been 4 weeks. And as antsy as we get each day, they have to get it right. We know that. Secretary Vilsack knows that. And so we'll just continue to just keep pressing every single day.
You know, during this process, Emily, over the last 4 weeks, I would say that the level of understanding among casual observers about just how important the GREET model is and what these final adjustments are, the level of understanding of how important it is has increased dramatically, hasn't it?
It has. It has. Just the fact that people know GREET, that acronym is something, a shorthand that people are using on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the good news is that wasn't the case 2 years ago. So we've made so much, we've made progress. We've crossed mm-hmm. that threshold where Treasury has said, yes, we have to use this model as a baseline when we're looking at ethanol, when we're evaluating ethanol and its carbon intensity. So that was huge success. And now, all right, if you're going to tweak the model as they said they would do, you have to hew as closely as you can to that GREET, to the original GREET. So that we have the maximum flexibility to innovate, to invest, to get credit for what we're doing.
And that's the key right there. Credit for what we are doing, what has already been done. As you know, what we're talking about is tracking the carbon intensity score of corn production so that ethanol producers have a better idea of what they are, what kind of a product they're putting out. Emily, great conversation. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that is Emily Score, She is the CEO of Growth Energy. We got the Farmer Forum coming your way next here on AgriTalk.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at FBN.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Time for Markets Now with the
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk down 17 to 1568, May down 27 to 1610, June down 28 to 1681, July down 17 to 1759. Meanwhile, live cattle markets continue to move mostly lower. The trade can't find any reason to move higher after the big losses from yesterday. Now, feeder cattle, they have a little bit of strength in some of the nearby contracts on some short covering. Meanwhile, hog markets are higher. A lot of positioning ahead of that quarterly hogs and pigs report. April live cattle down 57 cents to 182.52. March feeder cattle up 30 cents to 248.02. April up 55 cents to 86.12. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets and soybeans moving mostly lower as there's not a lot of fresh bullish news to support the markets and a lot of positioning ahead of the grain stocks report coming out. Wheat markets are moving higher on some light buying interest again ahead of that USDA report. New crop corn down 4 3/4 to 4.63 1/4. New crop beans now down 7 to 11.84. Chicago wheat May up 3 to 5.46 1/2, while July up 2 1/2 to 5.61 3/4. Minneapolis wheat May now up 4 1/2 to 6.51 3/4. July up 5 to 6.58 1/2. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekins.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk. I'm going to go ahead and get this started right now. Greg Anderson over in eastern Nebraska. Greg, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chip. And it is a chilly morning here in eastern Nebraska. My temperature gauge shows about 23 degrees. It's cloudy, but we're thankful for some moisture that we received over the past couple of days.
Yeah. How much did you end up getting? We got almost an inch in Northeast Iowa.
I almost doubled up on you there, Chip.
Wow.
A rare time. I had 1.7 inches of rain Sunday and Monday, and then it turned to ice. I took the rain gauge up. We got some ice, a little bit of power outages here on Monday. Nothing terribly drastic, though. And then just a skiff of snow to top it off. So, yeah. You know, thinking that coming up here in a couple of days, Good Friday, a lot of people in the gardens like to plant their potatoes. I don't think that's going to be happening in these parts this year.
Well, it's a little early this year.
It is. But I think the gardeners want to get out there just as much as the corn and soybean farmers want to get out there.
I think you're right. Plant the potatoes. Got to seed oats on Good Friday too, right?
There you go. That's right. Yep.
That's right. Okay. Stand by, Greg. Let's welcome in a new voice to the Farmer Forum, Anthony Bush over in Ohio. How are you, Anthony?
I'm doing pretty good. A little overcast here today and got a little rain last night here, but we're a little on the dry side around here. Hasn't been a really mild winter.
Okay. Around here. Tell us where around here is. And since it is your first time on the Farmer Forum, tell us about your operation.
Well, my name is Anthony Bush. I live and farm in central Ohio, about an hour north of Columbus. And I'm a fourth generation family farm, have number five farming with me full time. We raise corn, soybeans, and wheat. And I've been heavily involved in the National Corn Growers, Ohio Corn Growers for years. And so that's where we're at.
Gotcha. So with NCGA, what's been your focus?
My focus over the years has always been on the policy side of things,
okay.
You know, tax policy, farm bill policy work, yep. Crop insurance, those types of things have always been my interest.
Gotcha. You got to be frustrated as I am over this farm bill then.
Oh, it's just horrible. I was at a farm bill forum that Ohio State put on there a few weeks ago, and I did an interview for Ohio Country Journal, and they said, the panel said, well, the farmers, they're not hearing from farmers. I said, you're hearing plenty from farmers. We're just tired of talking to deaf ears.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good point. What a great point. And, you know, the thing is, the leadership in the House, and I've been, I don't think I'm wrong on this, Anthony. Tell me if I am. The leadership in the House, I'm talking about Congressman Thompson. Or Chairman Thompson, mm-hmm. I really believe he wants to get this bill. He wants action on this bill as soon as possible. Is that right?
I absolutely believe that. GT's a great guy. You know, my standard line, there are 535 members of Congress. I believe there are 450 really good ones. But when an idea gets to the top in leadership, that's where good ideas go to die.
Yeah.
Glenn Thompson's a great guy, and internally there's a lot of agreement, but when you put the full House involved in trying to get something done, they just can't agree on anything, and it's very frustrating.
Absolutely.
I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Anthony. Well, thank you for bringing your perspective to the Farmer Forum. You know how this works. Jump into the conversation. I'm going to go back to Greg, because Greg, a lot of the projects that you are working with and focused on at Clean Fuels Alliance America, renewable diesel, the sustainable aviation fuel, it seems to be driving the biofuel conversation into the rest of the energy industry, according to the conversation that we just had with Emily Score from Growth Energy. That's got to be encouraging to you, isn't it?
Oh, it's tremendous, Chip. There's no doubt about that. Increased demand for low carbon fuels. You know, I've seen here just recently over the last maybe 2-3 years, we always talked about B20, a 20% biodiesel blend, mm-hmm. Blended with petroleum oil. That conversation has now shifted to B50 and most often B100.
Right.
And the reason for that is helping diesel customers who are under carbon reduction pressure to lower their carbon footprint with their existing fleet. without the need to wait for electric vehicles and all of the infrastructure and grid improvements that will be needed for low carbon electricity. Really interesting report just issued by Clean Freight Coalition has calculated the cost to completely electrify the U.S. commercial trucking industry at upwards of a $1 trillion. I mean, just think of that. Right. We have low carbon fuels that are drop-in fuels, especially with renewable diesel that can reduce carbon right now. And, you know, we're better, cleaner now. And that's the really the tagline that Clean Fuels has used and how accurate it is. It's a great tagline, clean, better, cleaner, and now.
Yeah. Greg, freight haulers, they're not waiting for electricity, are they? I mean, they're if a low or zero carbon liquid fuel alternative comes along that they can use, they're going to jump on that before they'll go electric, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. And we saw that at our recent conference with the Clean Fuels Alliance America conference. We had the largest private fleet represented there in the United States. And, you know, they're wanting to go all in on B100. They want to go all in on RD, wherever it works. And that's pretty exciting. You know, we saw the global leader in the production of locomotives with rail has just approved B11, expected to go to B20 in this year, 2024. Second largest locomotive manufacturer has approved biodiesel blends of B20. I mean, this is just continuing to grow, and it's happening pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Anthony, when you think about the efforts that have been put into developing the biofuels markets for whether it be a soybean oil based market or an ethanol market, how do you feel about the return that we're getting at this point?
Just one quick little point.
Yeah.
One of my favorite hobbies is I have a show truck, a semi. It's an old Mack and everything. So I just spent 2 days last week at the Mid-America Truck Show in Louisville. Yeah. And Mr. Anderson was just talking about electric vehicles and low carbon fuels. They had an electric semi down there in one of the booths. And not only was it kind of the laughing stock, but there was zero interest. And,
really?
You know, people looking around it or anything, it's just not what people are looking for and don't believe it's viable. And so that's just the little side note from my trip to the Mid-America Truck Show. But, you know, Emily Scar, whom I know a little bit over the years, talked a lot about the GREET model.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest parts of making the GREET model work for an ethanol plant is being able to capture and store carbon.
Mm-hmm.
So in Ohio, it's all about the geology around an ethanol plant, but they're talking about drilling wells to sequester carbon down, you know, put this down in the ground. This is a very evolving field, but in order for ethanol to meet its carbon intensity scores, this is extremely important. Like Iowa, I'm not sure about Nebraska, but Iowa does not have the geology to be able to do this.
Right.
So they're actually talking about, and Iowa has 40 some ethanol plants.
Yep.
So in order to participate in the sustainable aviation fuel market, we got to be able to capture and store this carbon somehow. And so they're actually talking about building pipelines.
Yep.
You know, it's a big issue with landowners, and so is drilling wells. We talked about this in our board meeting yesterday about drilling wells and how does that work for adjacent landowners and how far away. And, you know, Ohio Corn Marketing Board is actually going to be contracting some legal services to explore this because it's, you know, it's a very new and upcoming thing that without that ability, we won't be able to play in this SAF market.
Yeah. 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 Boy, Greg, Anthony did a great job of describing the situation there. And it is coming around to that playing in this, you know, playing in the sustainable aviation fuel market is kind of where everybody's directed right now, isn't it?
Getting a lot of attention. In fact, at our conference, we had two major airlines represented. They were on a panel and they were saying that we need this fuel right now. I think last year we domestic production of SAF was around 100 million gallons, and they're wanting 6 billion gallons by 2030.
Man, holy smokes.
He's exactly right. By 2050, their projected global demand's 175-ish billion gallons. But ethanol is not a one-to-one ratio conversion right. to SAF. It's like one gallon to like 0.7 gallons of SAF. I don't know the science behind that exactly.
It takes 1.6 gallons of ethanol to make a gallon of SAF.
Yeah. You know, in my 15 years around the corn growers and the development of the RFS, for years we've been asking, what's the next ethanol?
Yeah.
In terms of corn command, well, I think we've answered the next ethanol is ethanol.
Excellent. Excellent. Anthony, good point. We need to take a break, guys, but I want to come back to that. The next ethanol is ethanol. We'll play off that a little bit more. We got the Farmer Forum going. Greg in Nebraska and Anthony in Ohio.
Hi, I'm Jade, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit is the savoriness of the sausage, the fluffiness of the egg, and the butteriness of the biscuit. It's amazing. The perfect start to my day.
Hi, everyone. It's Justin. A little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit is the fluffy egg, the melted cheese, and the sizzling sausage. It's the start to your morning that you didn't know you need.
Order a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit and Simply Orange Juice on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Take steps to live a more sustainable lifestyle by investing in plastic-free food storage containers like silicone sandwich bags or beeswax wraps, which can replace the difficult-to-recycle single-use plastic wrap. And while we all do our part, Charmin is working hard to make a difference by regrowing 2 trees for every tree used. We all go, why not enjoy the go with Charmin? Whether it's the irresistible cushiony softness of Charmin Ultra Soft or the superior strength and absorbency of Charmin Ultra Strong, either way, you can't go wrong.
If you've been enjoying a little too much food, too many sweets, and too much liquid cheer over the holidays, then you've probably put a lot of stress on your liver. A great way to show your liver some love and to detox your system is simply adding Active Liver to your daily routine. Active Liver is an easy and effective way to keep your liver healthy and functioning properly all year long. You can find Active Liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, go to newnordicusa.com or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS.
Pluto TV is TV the way it should be, free. With over 300 channels, thousands of movies and TV shows costing zeros of dollars. So if you want to watch shows like Ghosts, The Walking Dead, CSI, Star Trek, or The Price is Right, well, The Price is Right. It's free. Hit movies like Braveheart, Sonic the Hedgehog, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, or Mean Girls won't cost you a thing because everything is free. All you have to do is download the app, which, by the way, is also free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Stigma.
Joining us now, Jay Heineck. He is a Golden Harvest grower from Hanover, Kansas. Go for Gold winner at 83 bushels per acre. Jay, talk to me about the history of Golden Harvest products on your operation.
Been a user for 50 years. I've been a lifetime user.
50 years? It had to be first year.
Yeah. Dad started with the J.C. Robinson Seed Company out of Waterloo, Nebraska with Funk's G-Ivers. And when they went over to start Golden Harvest, he stayed with them. Been with them ever since.
Amazing. So tell me about the 2023 growing season and what it took to grow those 83 bushel beans.
Water. These were irrigated, so I watered the heck out of them. Yeah. I still ain't figured it out. Beans to me are the toughest thing to irrigate. You don't know either too early or not enough, but I poured it to it this year because we was going to be gone for a week in August, so I just watered the heck out of them. I don't know if that helped or not, but.
All right. You know, when we talk about genetics, the first thing that we look at is always yield. But there's other things that we need to consider, tolerances for diseases and so on. Talk to me about that. How much did that come into play?
Well, we always had some trouble with sudden death, so we used Saltro on the beans. And other than Cruiser Max and spraying fungicide and insecticide, that's all we do. Nothing other than that.
All right. So you've been sticking with Golden Harvest product for the last 50 years. I imagine you're sticking with them for at least one more, right?
Until I retire. Then I'm sure as long as they're still around, my son has a dealership, he'll stay with them.
Yeah. What you learned from last year, what are you going to take from that 2023 growing season as you make decisions for 24?
Doing the same thing. I'm going to use the same number of bean, and I don't know if I'll throw anything else at it, but definitely do what I did last year.
Yeah, the consistency is there.
Yeah, yes, consistency is very good. Well put. Yep.
Yeah, fantastic. Jay, thank you so much. That is Jay Heineck. He is a Golden Harvest grower and dealer from Hanover, Kansas.
This is Chip Lorre with another Appetite for Pork report. Dr. David Newman with the National Pork Board works to put more U.S. pork on tables around the world. David, how have pork checkoff dollars turned into new business in foreign markets?
With help from the U.S. Meat Export Federation and matching funds from the USDA, the checkoff's working to drive the demand with international customers. The big win in 2023 was in Mexico and Japan, which are both long-term customers for U.S. pork. Those activations have resulted in the addition of millions of pounds of U.S. pork sales going into foreign markets.
What's next as you're trying to reach new customers for U.S. pork?
Continuing to offer up the fresh, high-quality U.S. pork around the world.
Thanks again, David, for talking with us today about how the Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for U.S. pork. You can find more information at porkcheckoff.org/radio.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Acuron. Discover 5 to 15 more bushels per acre with Acuron corn herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host,
Chip. You boogieing a little bit, buddy? You got a Wednesday morning boogie going? You boogieing just a little bit to that there?
A little bit.
All right.
Yeah, no doubt.
Good. Just a little bit.
No doubt. Yes, exactly right. Thanks for waking me up there, Davis.
Happy to do it.
That's good stuff. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. We got a farmer forum going with Greg Anderson from Nebraska, Anthony Bush from Ohio. Anthony, you made a great observation at the end of the last segment. For so long, corn growers have been wondering what the next ethanol would be. Well, lo and behold, the next ethanol is ethanol when we look at this ethanol to jet transition. And when there's a lot of the industry is pulling in the same direction on this right now, isn't it, Anthony?
They are.
Yeah.
I attended the Growth Energy Conference down in Marco Island, Florida, back in December there. And Emily Score and her team put on an incredible conference and very top level speakers. And it is all the talk. I mean, when you've got airlines showing up at a Growth Energy Conference, for the first time in 15 years, they need us.
Yeah.
And that has been very welcome. We are getting meetings with the American Petroleum Institute, who
yep.
hated us for years and didn't want anything to do with us. So things have changed, and
yep.
we've got to be ready to accept that change and make our product what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Good point. You know, so ethanol is the next ethanol. The soybean guys and soybean oil have been wondering what's the next big move for the bean market. And Greg, here we sit basically with where ethanol was in 2005, 2007, when it comes to bean oil and its growth potential, right?
That's exactly right. Over the last three decades, the biodiesel industry's growth has enabled the soybean market's growth, because soybean oil is still roughly half of the feedstock for the 4 billion gallons of biodiesel and renewable diesel
yeah.
produced in the U.S. in 2023. Now we are using, the clean fuel industry is currently using more than 1 billion pounds soybean oil each month.
Mm-hmm.
And put that in perspective, as you were saying, you know, 20 years ago, the biodiesel industry used that much for the entire year.
Yeah.
So clean fuel's vision of 6 billion gallons of fuel production will call for about 18 billion pounds of soybean oil annually, and that's about 1.5 billion pounds per month if we maintain that 50% market share, which I'm confident we will with soybeans.
Mm-hmm. Greg, I
think
remember
that's extremely important for the corn grower also, because most corn growers grow a lot of soybeans too. So
darn
this
right.
is definitely something we're all very interested in.
Yep, Greg, I remember when it got to 3 billion pounds, and it was just like, holy mackerel! Did you ever think we'd get here? Well, now look at it. It's just It's absolutely incredible. All right, let's switch gears here just a little bit for the last couple of minutes. Anthony, you were talking to me about some issues with last year's corn crop that's stored in the bin over there in the Eastern Belt. What's going on?
Vomitoxin, everybody's favorite word. Yeah. We didn't have it as bad this year in Ohio as we had it in 2020. It is just something that's kind of, you know, we've had it in wheat in Ohio before, but for it to come into the corn industry the way it has in the Eastern Corn Belt is very top of mind to most Ohio farmers, because they've either had it this year, they had it last year. So the Ohio Corn Marketing Program, which I'm chairman of this year, is working with the Ohio State University and other lots of interest in this. There was just a meeting at Beck's headquarters in Atlanta, Indiana on Monday. And there were people from the seed industry there, other corn grow organizations, the millers associations, exporters are all very interested in this. So we're funding a huge, well over a $1 million 3-year project with Ohio State to work on cleaning. Purdue University, I believe, is involved in it also, on techniques for cleaning the grain once you have it. But we're also really pushing to do research on, is there a way we can mitigate it after we have it? Yeah. That's the real question farmers are wanting to know. And and the seed breeders, you know, is there a way we can breed it out of it? Previously it seemed like the seed industry has basically said that's a grain issue, not a seed issue. I think there's enough interest in it now that they're working on it. But one of the things we have noticed, the highest concentrations of vomitoxin are your highest yielding hybrids sometimes. Yeah. So there's a lot of research to be done on how to mitigate it with, maybe fungicides, timing of application. We know it's something that you have to hit the green silk of the ear for any fungicide to be effective to control it. So, drone application is going to be studied, aerial application, drop nozzle, all kinds of different methods of application, and what's the most effective. And then what do we do with it after we have it? How do we deal with it?
Right. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it used to be the answer was blended off, but that doesn't need to be the answer, and it's not the acceptable answer any longer in many cases. So, yeah, good stuff.
The solution to pollution is dilution. but we gotta be able to figure this out.
Right.
The market is so weird about it. The year I had it, I hauled almost all of my corn to Cincinnati, which is 160-mile one-way drive. I really don't want to do that very often.
Yep. Good.
So, but one elevator, it's a problem. You haul it to the river, and it's not a problem.
Right.
So
we
got to figure those issues out.
Right. Greg, got about 30 seconds here. How many years beans on beans will this be for you?
About 31, Chip. Yeah. I know I'm an anomaly out here, but it's been working, and we gotta get this feedstock for biodiesel and renewable diesel, right? So I'm doing
my
part.
You bet. You know it. We'll be checking in with you and seeing how it's going, okay? You guys
do that. Yep.
Man, you bought the good stuff today. Good stuff, you guys. Really appreciate
good job,
it.
Greg.
That is Anthony Bush over in Ohio, Greg Anderson, Eastern Nebraska. You guys come back this afternoon. We're gonna get you ready for tomorrow's reports. Matt Campbell from StoneX Group.
In the beginning, there were soybean plants, and something big was about to happen. Except, it didn't. Because stresses like heat and drought struck during the flowering stage, preventing bloom and so much more. But then Agroxene said, "Let there be Smartfoil." And the big bloom came, because Smartfoil is a biological foliar application that increases pod count and yield potential by reducing abiotic stress. So bloom big in 2024. Ask your retailer about Smartfoil by Agroxene, or visit bigbeanbloom.com to learn more.
Are you ready to maximize your yields? Use Germinator Steel Closing Wheels. Germinator Steel Closing Wheels provide a 13-bushel advantage per acre in no-till and a 7-bushel advantage per acre in conventional as compared to standard rubber wheels.
caution. Please confirm that you have additional space in your bin before adopting Germinator closing wheel systems.
Call 712-520-6051 or visit farmshopmfg.com to place your order today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Is switching?